You are now tuning in to Let's Be Honest with host Just Jonda. Hello, and welcome to Let's Be Honest with your host, Just Jonda. This episode, devotion or fiberglass cages. Let's get to it. So first, once again, I've got to backtrack to more in who asked for that news. This week in who asked for that news, I've got to go to the NFL first. We have the Black National Anthem at an NFL game. At least that's what's planned. Nobody asked for that. I'm Black, and I didn't ask for that. I'm good with it at church, Black History Month events, NAACP events I attend, and lots of other things where, well, there's mostly Black people. Among all the things that white people who are getting increasingly angrier, that they're getting angry about, this is not the fire that I want to pour gasoline on. Again, who asked for that? The issue with the anthem was never about which anthem. The whole situation for the umpteenth time when it comes to CAP and the anthem was about having the right to silently protest if one chooses. You stand, you kneel, you put your hand over your heart. You don't pull your hand over the heart. Nobody was streaking across the field. Nobody was singing an alternate song, doing some kind of gyrating or anything. No, it was just the right to have the anthem played and you do what you want. So NFL, honor the contract that you have with the military or whatever the hell you're doing. The anthem is sung before every event. We get it. Nobody was telling you not to do it. How is it when someone's kneeling, how is it any different than when Muslims don't put their hands over their hearts during the Pledge of Allegiance to say one nation under God? And really, let's not get too technical, because if you really want to go there, Christians shouldn't be doing it either. But I guess nobody wants to have that whole conversation about false idols. You know, that's in that Bible everybody's so fond of toting around. Again, I don't have an issue with that either. I'm actually a Christian, but I'm also going to keep it all the way 100 with you. This is Let's Be Honest. So again, the anthem, I love it. The words are beautiful. I love to sing it. I love to mix up the end like most people do. But is it necessary in this instance? Nope. Once again, totally missing the point. Another thing that nobody asked for, Kanye West announcing that he's running for president in 2020. Now, we know that this guy is all about the stunts and shows, right? So do I think that this is really something he's going to do? Who knows? He just signed a deal, from what I understand, with The Gap for 10 years for those strangely ugly monochromatic clothes that he sells or that he makes his family wear. But so I guess now everybody will be in taupe sweat clothes. I don't know. But and I guess if he wins, would that become the military uniform? A lot of things to ponder there. But is this a serious thing? It may be, it may not be. Elon Musk says that he supports him, but then Elon Musk's baby has a name that even he can't pronounce. So again, are we paying attention to either of these? No. Now, am I giving Kanye a pass? No. People love to blame when it comes to Kanye, blame mental health issues, blame the women in his life, for instance. It gets like, oh, Kanye ain't been right since his mom died. How long ago was that? Kanye's not incompetent. Maybe a little special, but not incompetent. Oh, well, it's the Kardashians. He married a Kardashian. No. If you recall, Kanye was an asshole long before any of this. It's stunts and shows. And you know what? People encourage it. The same people, and now I'm going to talk to my own people, those of us of a darker hue. Well, you were ready to cancel the hell out of Kanye between him marrying Kim. Okay, you let him go with that. But then followed up with the comments about Trump. If I had actually voted, I would have voted for him. Or Trump is so great, I wish he was my dad. Or those really unfortunate comments he made regarding slavery. Cancel Kanye was the order of the day. Even the other big mouths who go head to head on Instagram, T.I. and all the rest of them, everybody was all upset with Kanye. Then the next thing you know, Kanye's starts holding church in the woods, which he'd actually been doing for quite some time, but people start to go because Kanye puts together a choir and puts Jesus to genuine songs, and all of a sudden it's all about Kanye. Everybody's running into the woods to worship with him. He's in Atlanta at New Birth with Eddie Long. He's at Howard University Homecoming. And it wasn't the young people who I saw bragging all over Facebook about Kanye's holding Sunday service at our alma mater. No, these were actual graduates. These were people my age. These were people well over 30 and 40 who were all in, you know, all excited because Kanye and his, you know, his choir of people who put Jesus to songs by rappers are on the yard. So how you like it now? See, you've been playing this game with him for years, and he just never ceases to stop to top himself. Well, this is what you get. So what's going to happen now? Anybody going to tell him to stop? No. Is he actually going to run? Who knows? The deadlines have passed for him to get on the ballot in most areas. He hasn't even done an SEC filing, but FEC, yeah, Federal Election Commission, an FEC filing, but he can certainly tell people to write him in. I don't know if they'll be able to do it, but he certainly can tell people to do it. Now, the votes may not be counted if they put ye or yay or whatever, or just put Kanye instead of Kanye West. Not really sure how that's going to work out, but a wasted vote is a wasted vote, right? Who's going to take this seriously? I don't know. But when he announced, he had a million likes on Twitter. So I guess we'll see. Maybe he has a CD coming out and it'll be called Kanye for President. That actually seems a little bit more likely. So far, haven't seen him say anything since to back any of this up. But I've been working all day and trying to stay away from most news sources, just because it drives me crazy when I get a show ready for you all and something else happens. So I know it's a bit of a cheat. So anyway, that is enough about who asked for that, because we know it's going to keep happening, especially while we are continuing this ongoing battle. There will be lots of who asked for that moments. There will continue to be a lot of Karen moments, and there will continue to be a lot of angry, angry people moments. So I guess we'll just see, right? So on to something a little bit interesting, a little bit dirty. I'm kind of excited about it. So those who have been watchers of Housewives, particularly the Real Housewives of New Jersey. So when this show started, it was kind of like a scrubbed up Mob Wives, Mob Wives set in my home state of New Jersey. They were in North Jersey, maybe I think Franklin Lakes, which is around Bergen County, might even be in Bergen County. But anyway, fancy section of New Jersey, but kind of trashy, right? And people definitely with the Italian angle, with some of the individuals on the show, particularly the Manzos, always ask questions about that. And to me, it was really because Caroline Manzo always had this kind of, I don't know, she kind of reminded me of that swagger that Renee Graziano from Mob Wives or some of them tried to have, like, you don't mess with the family kind of stuff. So although they said they had nothing to do with the mafia, and of course, who isn't going to say that? After all, as we know, first rule of the mafia, there is no mafia. So for my purposes, there is no mafia, guys. I'm just telling the story. So on the one hand, she said that, but she still kind of played up that swagger and that Italian angle. So as we know, in those initial seasons, those first couple of seasons and then maybe a pop-in in the middle, there were two Manzo sisters, Caroline and Dina, who were married to brothers, Albert and Tommy Manzo. Now, Tommy Manzo, you never saw much on the show because I believe for the overwhelming majority of the show, maybe even from the very beginning, Dina and Tommy, Dina's the blonde, younger sister, Dina and Tommy were either separated or possibly even already divorced at that point. So you didn't really see him. They didn't even really show their children. And of course, we know with reality TV, if a couple is estranged or have issues, sometimes there are, you don't often see the children because the parents aren't agreeing to them being on camera. Okay, enough of the backstory, because if you never watched the show, it doesn't matter. But where this is all interesting is, so you say you aren't a member of the mafia. Well, guess who just got arrested? Dina's husband, Tommy, the one, the younger one, the more elusive one who didn't really appear on the show with his wife. Now, Tommy and Albert Manzo are owners of the Brownstone, which is one of those ritzy, and I'm from Jersey, so there's tons of them. And I've been to the Brownstone, as a matter of fact, but one of those really nice, like, wedding and celebration event places. They're all up and down Route 1 in Jersey. So they own one. It's called the Brownstone. So what did Tommy get arrested for? Well, Tommy got arrested on charges of conspiracy and racketeering because in the federal indictment, it alleges that Tommy hired an associate of the Lucchese crime family from New York. Yes, the infamous Lucchese crime family, that he hired one of them to beat up Dina, his ex-wife's boyfriend at the time, whose name is Danny, I believe. So they beat up Danny. At that point, nothing happened to Dina. Now, Dina and Danny are married now, but they were boyfriend, girlfriend at the time. The payment for the, I don't want to call it a hit, but there were some hits. The payment for this was really funny and stupidly traceable because the payment was a deeply discounted wedding reception at the Brownstone. So basically, you beat up my ex-wife's boyfriend and I will give you a lavish wedding reception for practically nothing. So apparently he has this bomb wedding reception for almost 300 people and maybe a couple of mobsters attended as well. Again, as far as I'm concerned, there is no mafia. I'm just telling the story. So at any rate, that's the first incident, right? So this was actually a few years ago when this happened. So something tells me that there has been a long investigation as it relates to Mr. Manzo and of course this other person, and they finally found something to hang their hats on, because there was discussions in the indictment about the altercation of records and everything. So that's an awful lot for, if you're going for a federal indictment as it relates to getting somebody beat up, not even killed, so that you could get a discounted wedding reception. So we're not stupid. We know that there's more to this, right? Of course there is. Needless to say, things must be real ugly between the Manzo brothers, and this is probably not going to enhance the relationship between the sisters at all, because Caroline and Dina have been estranged off and on for quite some time. So at least a few years. I think they did get back together briefly, but at this point, Dina is living on the West Coast, so she has basically removed herself from the mix altogether. So flash forward to 2019. We're not sure if this is unrelated or not, but nobody's talking, so wink, wink. Last spring, Dina and her now husband, Danny, were the subjects of a breaking and entering. Somebody broke into their house, so we're going to call it a burglary, broke into their house and allegedly stole some things. But the most significant issue, and this is actually while they're on the West Coast, but the most significant issue is they roughed up Dina a bit, but once again, beat the crap out of Danny. So right now, based on what I'm reading, nothing is saying that these incidents are connected. One of the individuals involved in that, because allegedly there were two individuals, one of them has been captured and I would presume is not talking as it relates to whom the other individual is, because right now there's only one in custody, and that capture was a bit ago. So really crazy stuff surrounding the Manzo sisters and the boyfriend. And I say sisters because ultimately, if Tommy and Albert are in business together, this is going to affect Albert, which of course affects Caroline, that is her husband. And if the business is all tied up in this mess, if the feds feel like you were using your business to further crime, then that is certainly going to impact your business greatly, if you will even have a business after the fact. We're talking about falsification of records and all kinds of other things. Then once you start talking about falsification of records, you know what comes next. Tax issues, because what records were falsified? If you are playing around with income, then clearly you're not paying taxes on income that you're not declaring. So I won't jump to conclusions. Obviously, this is a situation that is still unfolding, but I don't think that we have to jump to too many conclusions when you know that someone allegedly used their business for ill-gotten gain. That business is in trouble, which means the whole family is potentially in the middle of a mess. So that's the gossip. There's some other small stuff. There is a little bit about Essence Magazine that I'm going to talk about a bit in our last segment. Kind of sad. It's one of those Black Girl Magic or Black Girl Tragic type things. But stay tuned, because for our deep dive, I am going to really give you the scoop on why today's topic is devotion or fiberglass cages. Be right back. I'm back. This is Just Jonda with Let's Be Honest. So from today's deep dive segment, we're going to talk about devotion or fiberglass cages. Now, this story that we're going to talk about, and of course, as always, get into my commentary on it, stood out to me especially because I am a woman of a certain age, and my age and coming of age tracks with the individuals who are at the center of this next story. I've watched their careers. I'm from the East Coast, so I definitely saw at least the husband's career from the very beginning. And the wife a bit too, I guess, because of my TV watching. In case you haven't figured it out, I am going to be talking about Will Smith, Jada Pinkett Smith, and the singer-rapper August Alsina. Now, unless you've been living under a pop culture rock, which is entirely possible, I don't know your life. Last week, singer, rapper, artist, whatever, August Alsina, who kind of came on the scene maybe, I would say about 6 or 7 years ago, maybe a little longer, when he was late teens, early 20s. A singer, August Alsina, who it's my understanding has a new project he is promoting, appeared on a show with DJ and also podcaster Angela Yee. And in that interview, it was actually a very interesting interview. I mean, just in terms of August talking about where he's been, what he's doing, his outlook on the world, his music, and all things August Alsina. And people tend to be interested in his story because he certainly makes it very much a part of his music, but also because things in his life and in his past, excuse me, have been things that he's been fairly open about, like a difficult and estranged relationship with his mother and losses as it relates to his siblings. And one of the biggest things that he revealed and was open about was a battle that he had with opioid abuse. Fairly early in his career, well, I guess, sometimes people have been around for a while, but his career when we began to get to know him as a sort of a mainstream artist, an artist that we heard on the radio, so probably his early 20s. So over the years where we sort of get into this relationship, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background, where we get into this relationship between August and Alsina and the Smiths is that we started to see pictures of him with the family probably about 6 or 7 years ago. He's 27-ish now. So we started to see pictures of him with the family, and as the story goes, both from him and them, he met the family up close and personal after going to a concert that either one or both of the Smith crew was having, either Willow or Jaden, became friends with them and in turn became friends with their family. And the family took a liking to him, he took a liking to them. And the next thing you know, you would see things where Jada would call him her adopted son. I mean, we know how Jada is always mew, mew, pew, pew. She's woke, she's deep, she's this, she's that. For the most part, with me, it's just way too many words that I just get tired of listening to. But, people like her. So at any rate, he was supposedly a part of their family. And I won't say supposedly, they, you love me, I love you, blah, blah, blah. So you saw lots of pictures really with he, Jada, and the kids. But if you're being treated like one of the kids, you're with your mom and your siblings, right? But there was a lot of little rumors, as there often is with the Smiths. Not really because of anything Will ever says, mostly because Jada always speaks in these overly lofty, cryptic, but not so cryptic, words about their marriage. Things that most people can say in a sentence and a half, she'll give you two paragraphs, and by the time she's finished, everybody's assuming they're doing everything from swinging to hooking up their friends with same-sex partners. So people were looking, and there was also a lot of pictures, especially on Instagram, where he and her, and now I'm talking about August and Jada, are all cozied up. I mean, if you go look, you'll certainly see them. So let's put that on the shelf. flash forward to last Tuesday-ish, I believe that was around June 30th, everything was going crazy in the pop culture scene, because the interview was released of he and Angela Yee, and of course, because of who was involved, the snippet heard round the world by late Monday night into Tuesday morning was when Alcina discusses his relationship with the Smith family and Jada in particular. So as it relates to the family, he says right off the break, I love them. They are wonderful. Best family in the world. You know, blah, blah, blah. The Smiths are all that in a bag of chips. But then he takes it a step further as it relates to he and Jada. And the only way that I can really make a point about this that I'll get to afterwards is just to read his words verbatim, because I think they are important to hear, especially in terms of my take on it. So he said, quote, I actually sat down with Will and had a conversation due to the transformation from their marriage to like partnership, which they've spoken on several times, and it not involving romanticism. He gave me his blessing. I totally gave myself to that relationship for years of my life, you know? And I truly and really, really deeply love and have a ton of love for her. I devoted myself to it. I gave my whole self to it, so much so, to the point that I can die right now and be okay with knowing that I truly gave myself to somebody and love that person. I experienced that. Now, end quote. Now, given all of the stuff that is constantly put out about the Smiths, I won't say by the Smiths, because they really don't say much at all, except for, like I said earlier, Jada talking in, you know, lofty terms about their relationship. But of course, the world immediately jumped on it and was like, oh, Jada had this affair with this young man, because now all of a sudden he's a young man. She's practically predatory. Okay, everybody's grown here. And I believe this supposedly was for 2 years and recent, which means this person would have been good and grown. But that, of course, is really only an issue if you believe an affair happened. And by the way, he didn't say anything specifically about sex. And I want to note two things before I go on. One, the Smith camp, particularly Jada's representatives, released a statement immediately the next day saying this didn't happen. Now, of course, that didn't stop the news gossip cycle for going on and on about this pretty much the whole week. And I believe around Thursday, Friday, Jada announces that she is taking herself to the red table. So I suspect by the time most of you hear this, we will also have Jada's follow-up, because usually from what I have seen, I don't watch the show religiously, but when she has something, if something interesting happens, obviously I'll talk about it or put the link on my blog, which I hope you all are following. And so if recollection serves, usually those episodes come out on Tuesday. So you all will be getting this probably around the same time as we get whatever this is Jada is going to the table to say. Now, I've got a couple of things to say about this. First, get out the predator crap. There are no victims here. If this situation occurred and it was, whether it was sexual or emotional, there were no victims here. If it was emotional, and I'll address that in a moment, I think that there probably were reasons as to why it got that way. Still not making anybody a victim. It falls under that category of S happens. The other piece of that, if it was indeed sexual, hell, I'm just going to keep it all the way 100. He's an attractive guy, she's an attractive woman, and if things started to progress that way, then they just did. Nobody trips when you have 50-year-old men marrying 25-year-old Playboy models. Okay, everybody praises the hell out of Robert Smith, who gave all that money to Morehouse. He's not still married to a woman that is of approximately his age and station in life. Have you seen his wife? She's a former Playboy model, literally. So let's not get crazy. And no, not a former Playboy model in her 40s, by the way. You know what kind of former Playboy model I'm talking about. One that's still young and fun and probably could still be on the cover. So let's not even act like we don't know what time it is. And that's only one example that I point out because, you know, nobody says anything about these things when men do it. And so what? Now, let's put that on the shelf. So no victims. Sad, but no victims. Now, and when I say no victims, do let me be clear. I am talking about the individuals specifically involved in the affair. For Willow and Jaden, this is embarrassing. Now, they are a different kind of family, so this may or may not be embarrassing to them in the same way that it would be embarrassing to my 13-year-old and soon to be, I'm not going to say how old, year old son. They would be embarrassed as hell, and folks wouldn't be speaking to me, and it wouldn't matter if me and their father were married or not, just the age difference and the fact that somebody is out there saying that they are all up in some stuff with their mama would be enough. Again, these are Hollywood kids, and not only are they Hollywood kids, but we have watched and heard Willow and Jaden speak. So they are not just the different in terms of them growing up in the whole show, under the whole show business umbrella, but they are different in a lot of ways in terms of how they see things and their outlook on the world and all of that. And we have seen that for years. So who knows where how the pendulum swings in terms of the kids. And of course, as it relates to the husband, if any of the things that people have said about them are remotely true in terms of their marriage, or even any part of what August has said about being open with Will with this relationship is true, then I suspect the anger wouldn't necessarily be with the relationship. I mean, why would it be if we're all good with everybody doing their thing? But what the problem would be with is you talking about it. Because if we have an understanding in our marriage, but within the context of that understanding, whomever we share that understanding with does not share it with the world, which we know that they don't, because if they do have this open door policy, which people have tried to claim they have for years, then clearly they have done a good job of making sure that whomever they open that door to doesn't open their mouths, because to this day, no one is ever able to confirm it. It is always just rumors that they don't specifically address. As I said, Jada says enough because she says too much of nothing about everything that sort of fuels it because of the way she puts things, but nobody has confirmed anything, least of all partners. So if there's anything to be upset about, is that part, because one would presume that we are clear about the fact that we don't talk about this stuff. Okay? Will is, you know, mega Hollywood A plus, you know, royalty. Jada, well, she gets to go along for the ride because she's married to him. Because, you know, let's not try to compare careers or acting chops, because if we really want to go there, and you know I will, Jada has been playing the same character of Jada since A Different World, just in different projects using different names. But still, same chick, same voice, same attitude, same everything. All of that being said, notice he doesn't even have her in his movies. So all of that being said, this is not something that someone of his caliber needs. With her, it doesn't affect her career one way or the other, because she does Red Table Talk. No shade, true tea. So there's that. So this is my take. It's in two parts. First of all, do I believe that there was an affair? I don't know. But what I will say is, unlike everyone else, I am not so quick to assume that there was a physical affair unless or until she says it. Because again, he never said the relationship was physical. And remember, all of these people try to be so super deep. So there is the possibility that if there was some type of an emotional connection, there was not a physical one. Still a relationship, but not the salacious one that everybody wants to make it. That being said, remember, this is someone who began to develop a certain type of feelings for this person. It is entirely possible that where your relationship starts is not where you end up. It's fine to say, I look at him like a son, or I look at him like a mom or whatever, but you are still two adult people who are attractive and with hormones. And by the way, there are pictures of what August Alsina looks like in the raw online. And I'm just going to leave it like that. But okay, girl. So that being said, who's to say that feelings didn't develop? Even if he developed those types of feelings towards her, and she, liking the attention, did not maybe stop some moments that may have gotten a little inappropriate, but you just kind of let it slide a little bit. Oh, it's not going to go any further. You know, he's just this little boy that just likes me. And I say little boy, not because I think he's a young boy in terms of being taken advantage of. I'm just saying it because, you know, a person, a mature woman of a certain age is going to look at someone who's 20 years younger and be like, look at that youngin' trying to holler at me. I still got it. Okay, I've been there. I ain't even gonna lie. I've been out and they like, hey girl, I'm like, yeah, I got it. So I'm not mad at that. So there is that. The other thing is there anybody else that's creeped out by this? And I'm not talking about creeped out by the relationship. I'm talking creeped out by the way He talked about it. Is this supposed to be romantic? Is this supposed to make me go, oh, I totally gave myself to that relationship. I truly and really, really deeply love and have a ton of love to her. I devoted myself to it. I gave my whole self to it, so much so I could die right now and be okay with I truly gave myself to somebody. When folks start talking about dying, unless it's Prince singing, I Will Die For You, that's a little much. Especially when you have these emotionally overwrought artists with issues. He's not just an artist, he's your stereotypical artist where they have all this angst and pain and things they're bringing from their life and this one and that one. And I'm not making fun, but you all know exactly what I mean when we, you know, when you're dealing with the, and I have an artsy daughter. My daughter is a dancer. So I am fully very much entrenched into the life, and 13 at that, into the life of an overwrought artist. So I get it. But then you add that extra ingredient of the tragic artist. And then they start talking about having given so much and not having much left, and they're not able to do what they do because something or someone is blocking them from doing it. So now they need to just come out and tell their truth. But when they do tell their truth, the fallout isn't so great. That makes me nervous. So I'm not impressed by any of this. Forget the whole did they or don't they thing. Did they or didn't they thing. I'm looking at it from a completely different angle. Jada, you in trouble, girl. I don't know if you and this dude did the horizontal hokey pokey or not, but whatever. And however you opened his consciousness to whatever plane he is on now, sounds a bit creepy. He is sounding like a whole woke version of Joe from You on Netflix. Will, you better be careful. Jaden, Willow, y'all better watch out, because messing with this one, you might end up in a fiberglass cage in a storage facility somewhere in Beverly Hills. Now we're gonna keep watching. Because Jada herself is slated to give us the next chapter in all of this, so we don't even have to make it up. It'll just be a matter of what she says, how many words she uses when she says it, and whether or not she believes it, and whether or not we believe it. In the meantime, I'll just sit and wonder, is this a case of devotion or fiberglass cages? I'll be right back. I'm back. This is Just Jonda with Let's Be Honest. Well, that last segment ran a little bit longer than I planned on it, so I'm going to save the Essence Magazine story for the next episode, but I really want you all to hang in for that. It is, I know I joked around about it when I said Black Girl Magic or Black Girl Tragic, but it is a rather disturbing story, and I think it deserves a lot more time than I'm able to give it in this particular episode. But I am going to tell you just as some background, because it's going to definitely be a deep dive next time. To look up, there is a story that was released. It's actually not a story. It is sort of, I don't know if I would call it a manifesto, probably more so of what these individuals would say would be a revealing truth. On June 28th in medium.com printed an article, and it's called The Truth About Essence. And it was written by Black Female Anonymous. So again, this is medium.com. And if you look up in Black Female Anonymous and Essence, you'll probably see it. In fact, if you do hashtag Black Female Anonymous and Essence, it should pop up. And it's a rather disturbing story. And knowing several people in the industry and people who've worked in or around there, it's let's just say it's very sad. And I'll get deeper into that next time. So just as a final, can we ever get it right when it comes to COVID-19? This July 4th weekend, I saw crowds. I saw barbecues. It was constant. And I mean the deluge of crowds. I even saw someone on, when I see people on my Facebook feed at this point or Instagram, I literally have to just stop scrolling or put my phone down and walk away because I don't want to be the person who ends up just driving everybody crazy. Because when I'm looking at this, all I want to scream is, where is your mask and what are you thinking? We're still going back and forth about these babies going to school. And no, I don't think that they should be there full time. That's a whole other situation that we're going to talk about, but I'll make it real simple. If you have to have your meetings about whether or not they go to school via Zoom, on the phone, or outside, really? Come on. I mean, do I even have to finish that sentence? And where would you get all the extra teachers from the social distance purposes? Where would you put the kids? On the lawn? Okay, you know what? Again, went down. I have a school-aged child, so obviously this is a cause near and dear to my heart and several friends who are teachers who I feel like are being totally disrespected in this process. So put that on the shelves, but shout out to my teachers. But everyone else, what are you thinking? Florida, 40,000 cases in 4 days. 40,000 cases in 4 days. Houston, Texas, every one in four resident tested has COVID. People traveling up and down the highways. You have certain states like New Jersey, my home state, who the governor put out a statement that if you visited or are coming back or whatever from a certain enumerated states, of course, almost every damn thing with an A except Alaska was on the list. Alabama, Arizona. I mean, it was like singing the song. You have all of these things where they say, no, you can't come. You have to go on quarantine when you get there. How are you going to enforce that? Like I said earlier about knowing your life, you don't know my life. You don't know where I came from. I could say I just came from down the street and that luggage is my laundry. You don't know. I mean, are the troopers just going to stop people because they assume you came from out of town because you got on the highway at the bottom of the turnpike? I mean, what? And then this whole situation with the basketball teams. I mean, come on, guys. I'm just, what was it yesterday? The Milwaukee Bucks have suspended practice. They aren't the only ones. This has been a nutball thing that has been going on for days or actually weeks. So you have this basketball season that's supposed to start on July 30th, where these players are supposed to be staying in the Disney World area in one of the big resorts, staying there, not going anywhere. Of course, staff is probably coming and going. But staying there, not going anywhere, and playing these games to finish out their season. I believe it was 22 teams that were chosen. Within the past several days, you have at least five teams that have had to suspend practices because either players or staff were testing positive. And then once that happens, you have an incubation period because then you got to figure out how many other people have been exposed and then wait to see if symptoms manifest themselves or, quite frankly, if they're asymptomatic but still have it. So I get it. You want to play basketball. I get it. Your kids want to go to college and be on campus and have that campus life. But they probably weren't doing what they were supposed to do at home. Most of these young people in particular live, they may not say YOLO anymore, but they certainly live that way. We were all young once. And unfortunately, to reinforce things with this group, they have been fed a constant diet of this can't happen to you for the past several months, which is not true. You are in a lower risk group, but that also means you have to be healthy. Well, we know that these young people aren't healthy from kids straight through to college age. You've got a substantial portion of them that are overweight. That's not to take into account those who have asthma, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, and all of these other things. Because let's be real, people. The individuals, the reason why this is something that is considered quite problematic for those who are older is not just because they're old. It is because they are more likely, due to the fact that they are old, have a weaker constitution based on illnesses, etc. And if they get it because they are older, then that kicks in and it makes it harder for them to fight it. However, of any age, if you have one of these comorbidity issues, you are at no less risk than my grandmother. If you are overweight or you have diabetes or you have any type of respiratory issue, asthma, anything that could possibly cause you problems, autoimmune issues, lupus, you're a survivor, like I'm a cancer survivor, any of these things, then you and my grandmother are on the same street as it relates to COVID. And so when you send your chunky student back to school, God love them, but they're really in no different of a position than if you sent grandma there in their place. So I hate to say it, and I know it sounds insensitive. I'm not trying to fat shame or anything else. Lord knows I got some extra junk in my trunk that I'd gladly pass off. But this isn't called the I'm going to be nice to you and tell you what you want to hear show. This is called Let's Be Honest. So you're going to get it straight from my perspective. You don't have to agree, but that's the way I'm going to give it to you. So all of that to the side, we got to ask ourselves, what is most important? Yes, we want to keep some individuals, especially with the sports stuff, the staff, and all of those people employed. But we also know that a lot of them got some PPE loans too. Okay. Well, we'll be keeping an eye on that too, and I'll certainly continue to wear my mask, and I hope you are as well, because when I come out here, I want to know that more and more of you are happy, healthy, safe, ready to listen, ready to engage, and hopefully hop on my social media platforms to engage there as well. So I am going to sign off for this episode, but as always, please remember, like, comment, subscribe. If you are on Apple iTunes, please give us 5 stars and some comments. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter. Both of those links are in the description, as well as my blog, where we have a lot of fun on Facebook, on the Fashion and Drama Diaries. All of that information is available for you in the information section about this episode. Otherwise, stay safe, stay happy, and for God's sakes, be healthy. And remember, if you're thinking about it and want to talk about it, I'm probably thinking about it and I want to talk about it with you. So let's be honest together. I'm Just Jonda. Have a good one.